everybody. It's time for another edition of On the Money with a Certified Financial Group here on News 96.5 WDBO. Ask the Experts Weekend, the Oracle of Orlando. Joe Bird is live here in the studio alongside Gary Abele. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you guys today?
Good.
Wonderful.
Good.
Joe, I know you got to be in your sweater. It's below your 60-degree threshold.
You got that, baby.
I'm in my T-shirt.
Yeah. I'm a T-shirt and shorts. That's okay. Yeah. I will be joining him tomorrow. But Joe, how was the week? What's going on?
So far, so good. Markets are record highs again.
They are.
Wow, it just keeps on rolling. But we're here to talk about your personal finances, about things that might be on your mind, make decisions that you have to make. Maybe you're at or near retirement age and you're facing all those decisions about how do we get from here to there. We've accumulated some IRAs and a 401k and some other investments. How do we turn those into income to supplement Social Security so we can sail off into the sunset and enjoy what they call those golden years? It was Gary and I and the 10 other certified financial planner professionals at CFG do day in and day out for a fee. But on Saturday morning, we're here doing it for absolutely free. So if you have any questions on your mind regarding stocks or bonds or mutual funds or long-term health care or IRAs, annuities, life insurance, reverse mortgages, all that and more, Gary and I are here to take your calls. And you can pick up the phone and dial these magic numbers right now because there's absolutely no one in line. Or you can also text. And those magic numbers, Kyle, are?
844-220-0965. That's 844-220-0965. And, of course, the text number is 21232. Just keep it to about 160 characters. That's all we can see on our screen. It cuts it off after that. We don't want to leave out some key details. So if it's, you know, starting typing and it's becoming a novel, that's when you pick up the phone lines and give us a call at 844-220-0965. All right, let's kick off today's conversation, Gary Abele. How to calculate the true cost of health care in retirement. Ooh, that's a good one.
You know, it is a great topic, and it's something that can almost break your retirement budget if we don't know how to budget for it. So it's interesting. We have the best listeners. You know, we just emailed the information that we were going to talk about, and no sooner had we emailed that out, we got an email back from a listener who sent me an article from the Journal of Medicine, and it was very interesting. And I just asked Joe, I said, what do you think the most expensive condition was that we have to budget for, that we spend, for health care? And the interesting thing, a lot of us, I think, would think heart disease or cancer, but actually diabetes is the condition we spend the most money on. In 2013, we spent about $100 billion plus. And what's really interesting of that, guess how much was prescriptions? Over half.
Wow.
Right. About 57% was spent on prescriptions. And that's what I wanted to just lead into today. A lot of us, when we are budgeting healthcare expenses, we think, okay, we buy our Part D Medicare. That's what covers our prescriptions. And usually you'll pay anywhere from probably on the low side, $20, all the way up to even over $100 for the insurance premium.
Now, Part D doesn't cover all the prescriptions. While we got the time, why don't we explain to our listeners that might be facing that in the not-too-distant future what Part D is all about? You got A, which is the hospital,
right.
B, which is the doctor,
right.
Now, C, which is your supplement. Right?
No. C are your Advantage plan. So So A and B is original Medicare.
Right, that's correct.
C was developed.
That's what I was thinking, that you have to have in addition to A and B. You can supplement.
Supplement you need in addition to A and B,
right,
but
you don't have to do C. You can do F and the other ones. If
you're really confusing.
Let's get back to D.
Drugs. So a lot of times people have integrated plans, which Joe is referring to, Part C, which are called Advantage plans. So those are outside of original Medicare. You contract with a private carrier like an Aetna, United, Blue Cross, one of the big ones usually, and they take care of your care, and they have an integrated prescription benefit. But when you stay within original Medicare, you have Parts A and B, and you need to supplement that because A and B covers roughly around 80%.
Right.
So you supplement that, and then you also need Part D, as in David, for prescriptions. Now, the interesting thing, and I highly recommend to our listeners who are covered under original Medicare, every year go to Medicare.gov and enter in your prescriptions. Now, how long will this take you? Sometimes too long. I've been in our conference room spending about a half an hour entering in maybe 15 drugs.
But not for yourself.
Not for myself. No, I don't take any. But anyway, so here's what you find out. I just did this, and this was only six prescriptions for somebody. The range for the out-of-pocket cost, including the prescriptions and the cost of the insurance for this particular client, range from $1,900 a month to over $9,000 a month.
So let's stop you there.
Yep.
So you've got the regular Part D premium, which is in this number.
And there's 21 choices, by the way, in this area.
So there's 21 choices of Part D?
That's right. Now, let me just say
this.
So
you have Part D, D1, D2, D3. They don't call it like that.
They call it Aetna, Blue Cross, Silver Scripts, all these things. And I'm not going to go into details of which one was cheaper because it depends on the drugs that you take.
Right.
The important thing is to go through that process. If you're working with an agent, I'm probably going to get some bad emails later, but there are some companies that require you, in order to keep your license, your appointment with a company, to sell so many of these Part D plans. For example, maybe I have to sell 10 with one company, 20 with another company to keep that.
Oh.
So what am I likely to recommend
That's
for you?
That's interesting.
Yes, right. So really, this is something you can and should take the time. Now, there are a lot of terrific agents out there who will spend the time in entering in your prescriptions and hopefully will sell you what's best for you. But
if you want to double check,
if you want to, what do we call it? A second opinion.
Wow.
So to get a second opinion before you purchase the plan, because once you purchase it, you're stuck with that for a year, right? There's one exception to that. It's called the five-star exception, but there are no five-star plans, so we don't get that exception. So anyway, make sure if you're on Part D that you do, in fact, go through that effort. And I had a client actually this week say, Gary, I signed up for Part D as you told me to because I didn't want to, have a penalty, but, I don't take any drugs. Are you sure that I really need this? And I don't want to take any drugs. And she goes to a holistic doctor, and I can understand that. But we need to remember a Forbes article probably 7-8 years ago that said there were over 10 or a dozen cancer drugs that cost over $100,000. And so we're not buying these prescription plans for our needs today, right? We're buying it for the needs we don't know about tomorrow. And so a lot, a hepatitis drug, you could get that through no fault of your own.
Right.
That I think the cure on that, now it's come down in price, but when it first came out, it was around $90,000. Now it's probably down to $40,000 for a 30-day or a 90-day cure.
And Part D would cover that.
Part D would cover that.
Now, here's the donut hole.
We don't have time to get into the donuts. We need to go to Dunkin' Donuts for that. But no, the one thing I would say is a lot of people think with the donut hole and the catastrophic phase that they can only be out of pocket maybe $5,500 or so.
And that was your point
that's
about
not
the range.
True. You look at that range, if you happen to take a prescription not in the formulary, you are toast.
Now, by formulary, you mean those drugs that are covered by this specific plan that
that's
you choose.
That's exactly right. So the beautiful thing about this website is Medicare.gov will also tell you whether all of your medications are included in that particular insurance carrier's formulary.
Uh-huh.
So it's really well worth it.
Uh-huh.
And in this case, there was a range of about $7,000 because of drugs not being in the formulary.
So these are the things that you cover in your workshop.
What a segue, huh?
Are we professionals here?
I'll tell you what. So actually, we're doing a healthcare workshop on February 10th from 9 to 11, and that is one small part of what we cover. So about half of it, we discuss how Medicare works, the ABCs and Ds of Medicare. And then we also discuss Advantage plans, how those work, Original Medicare and Advantage plans. So that's about half of the workshop. The other half of the workshop, which I really think is very, very important, is long-term care options. Now, when we say long-term care options, we're not saying long-term care insurance. A lot of people will hear that.
Right.
But everybody has to have, and I don't care if you're rich or poor, everybody needs a long-term care plan. The plan can be, daughter's going to move in and help us. That could be a plan, all right? Now, the daughter better agree with that idea. You better not just assume it. Better have this, conversation, right? But everybody needs a long-term care plan. Sometimes it makes sense with insurance. As you probably know, Joe, I'm not a huge fan of purchasing today traditional long-term care insurance. There are some new products that I think work better than the traditional long-term care that can go up and up in price. Now, for those who've already purchased it, great. Okay, but if I were looking for a product today, I would probably pick a hybrid product. And we go over those. And also, we have our friends across the parking lot, our attorney, either Jody or Michelle from Murphy and Berglund, come over, and they talk about planning for VA aid
VA benefits. That's
VA
great.
Benefits is huge.
That's a great. So she'll be there talking about that.
She'll be there.
What I've learned in working with Jody is there are so many folks out there that are eligible for VA benefits, and the range of benefits is large. They're not even aware of them and taking advantage of them.
That's right.
So she'll cover that.
She'll cover that. She'll also cover Medicaid planning. How can you qualify for Medicaid?
How
much money can you have?
Medicaid,
how much income?
Medicaid is, a lot of people confuse Medicaid and Medicare.
So Medicaid is going to take care of you, your long-term care need, provided you have a low income and low asset base. So enough of this healthcare stuff. Let's talk to Rich.
Well, let's talk about the workshop, because if people want more information about this and want to get a lot of stuff that you're going to use if you're at or near 65, or maybe your parents are and they have to make these decisions, you can see that it can be very costly if you go down the wrong path.
That's right.
So you're
going to
do this in February?
That's February 10th,
February
and you can
10th.
Register at financialgroup.com. There's a registration right there.
Go to financialgroup.com, and if you're on a mobile device, click on down to workshops, scroll down to workshops, click on workshops, and you can find that. Make reservation right there online. It's going to fill up fast. It is absolutely free, 9 to 11 at our offices in Altamont Springs. In our classroom, we can accommodate about 30 folks, and you're going to provide some refreshments, I guess, too, as well. Good stuff.
Some donuts, probably. You know me, I'm the donut king.
All right, there you go. So if you want to come on by, you need to go out, because this is going to fill up fast.
Mm-hmm.
Financialgroup.com, scroll on down to workshops and make your reservation right online.
Yeah, and Gary gave out a lot of great information. So if you have a question about anything he just gave out, 844-220-0965 is the phone number to dial up the radio show right now, 844-220-0965. So let's get to our busy phone lines before we get to the three big things you need to know. Talk to Rich in Flagler Beach. Rich, you're on with the Certified Financial Group here on WDBO.
Good morning, Rich.
Good morning.
Good morning. Quick question. I have a small IRA of about maybe $8,200. I'm wondering, if I were to move that, to make that a Roth, am I subjected to a five-year, I can't take the money out, or would I be better off to just move that into an existing Roth that I have, and is that money also subjected then to that five-year, you can't touch it?
Well, good question, Rich, but I want to back up first and see, are you in a situation where this would cause you a tax to convert your regular IRA to a Roth IRA?
Well, yeah, it's my understanding that when you roll it over, you have to pay the taxes on that.
Well, that is true, but some folks, for example, in 2018, if you're married filing joint, you have a $24,000 standard deduction. Some folks will be below that amount for taxable income. And in those cases, Rich, I highly recommend that you do, in fact, convert to a Roth, because there's no tax consequence of it.
Right.
But in your case, I would put a pencil to the paper. You know, what we have found is sometimes people make a mistake by converting to a Roth because it costs them too much in taxes. But to your question, I would roll it over to a Roth that's been in place for more than 5 years, so you don't have any issue if you should need to take that money out. Now, the other issue, Rich, is I would definitely focus on your, if assuming you have a small amount in your Roth, and I know you just said that was a small amount, I'm assuming the amount in your regular IRA is much greater.
No, my regular IRA that I want to roll over is about $8,200. My Roth has about $68,000.
Okay, well then I definitely say, hang on. You may not need to do this, because your required minimum distribution then from your regular IRA is only a few hundred dollars. And that is just a minuscule amount of taxes, and possibly no taxes depending on your tax situation. You have plenty of money in the Roth to pull from, tax-free. So I don't know. I would want to look at your tax situation, Rich, before I would recommend you do that.
Is the reason that you want to make that conversion because you think the Roth is performing better than the traditional IRA?
No, it's just that I don't want to have to pay a lot of taxes on the RMD when I do retire.
Yeah. No, Rich, that would be peanuts.
Yeah.
That would be peanuts. That's only, you're talking about, even at the highest bracket, probably less than $50 in taxes.
Let's back up. How old are you, Rich? How old are you?
I'm 67, but I also do have a 457 plan that has about $470,000.
Okay. All the more reason then, because when you start taking that money out, you will be, you know, taking a decent amount out. Still need to look at your tax situation, because if you're only going to need the RMD from the 457 when you're 70 and a half, that's less than 4%. 4% of around $400,000, $16,000. I need to look at your other income. You may not be in a taxable situation still having to take out that RMD, even with Social Security. So don't assume it makes sense. You know, talk to your CPA or your tax advisor. Find out whether that would cause you taxes. I think that might be a mistake, Rich. And I'd be happy to help you if you want to call on Monday as well.
Well, I appreciate it. You guys are the best. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Rich.
Thanks
appreciate
for the call.
All right, Rich. If you would like Rich's line, it's 844-220-0965. That's 844-220-0965. Right now we got to pause to get the three big things you need to know. We are planning tomorrow
today
for the Certified Financial Group here on News 96.5 WDBO. Welcome back to On the Money here on News 96.5 WDBO. We have the experts from the Certified Financial Group, the Oracle of Orlando, Joe Burt, here alongside Gary Abley, taking your phone calls at 844-220-0965. That's 844-220-0965. Now we are 2 minutes away from latest news, weather, and traffic. We went a little long in our first segment, so we want to get back to our phone lines, at least get Steve on the line to start his question. Steve, go ahead. You're on with the Certified Financial Group here on WDBO.
Good morning, Steve.
Huh? Good morning. It's a fairly quick question, I think. If one spouse has reached full retirement age and they're the lower earning spouse, is there any reason for them not to take that? Should the higher income spouse not elect to take their Social Security benefit until after the full retirement age?
So you have a spouse that is full retirement age and has not claimed, and the larger earning spouse is deferring until a later age to increase the benefit.
Yeah, I mean,
yes.
Still be working. So
yes,
is there a benefit for them to go ahead and not take it now?
Sure.
The lower income.
Yeah, there is a benefit, Steve, in that their benefit would grow by 8% for each year that they were to defer it. Now, what you have to do though is look at your benefit once you start taking. Perhaps if it's you, age at age 70. Whether the spouse at half of your benefit would be more than her benefit, and just again assuming at her age 70. So it is a little bit of a calculation, but
she it would be like a minimal amount. I looked at it, and it was like less than $600 if she took it at 66. She hasn't worked for a number of years.
Okay.
So.
Well, then if yours is, you know, substantially above the $1,200 or double that, then there is no reason I would suggest that she wait at that point. She should take it at her full retirement age.
All right. I appreciate that very much.
All right. You're welcome. Thank you for the call.
All right, Steve. Hello. Thanks so much for the phone call. If you'd like Steve's line, it's 844-220-0965. That's 844-220-0965. We are planning tomorrow.
Today.
With Joe Burton, Gary Abley from the Certified Financial Group here on News 96.5 WDBO. Time for latest news, weather, and traffic with Dave Wall. Hey, welcome back. This is On the Money with the Certified Financial Group here on News 96.5 WDBO's Ask the Experts Weekend. We have Joe Burt, the Oracle of Orlando, alongside Gary Abley from the Certified Financial Group, taking your phone calls at 844-220-0965. That is 844-220-0965. Joe, for the audience that may have joined us during the latest news, weather, and traffic, what can they call you about today?
Gary and I are here to answer any questions that might be on your mind regarding your personal finances. We go through life trying some of this, trying some of that, wake up at 55 years old and find out we have a collection of financial accidents. And we are here to repair those accidents. We're your financial body shop. So we'll take out the Bondo, patch you up, and get you on your way. And there's no question that's off the wall. And if we can't answer the question right away, we will tell you and we'll do some research and we will get back to you. So if you have any questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, real estate, long-term health care, IRAs, annuities, life insurance, reverse mortgages, all that and more, we are here. And dial these magic numbers or text us at
212 212- 212-32. That's 212-32. Just keep it about 160 characters. That's all we can see on our screen. I do have a text question in here for you, but first I want to get back to our phone lines at 844-220-0965. Again, that number, 844-220-0965. Bob and Sebastian's got a question for you guys. Bob, go ahead.
Morning, Bob.
Hey, yes, hi, good morning. I had a bad accident and I did some patch job.
All right, we're here.
Back in September of 2016, with the interest rate issue and the election coming up, they said it was kind of shaky, and somebody at a retirement age or retired shouldn't be in the market at that period. So my fund said, Janice and Vanguard, they said you could actually slide to a safe haven like a lot of people do if they feel uncomfortable. So when they said slide, I thought that sounded like a good idea at the time. So I slid everything. I had an IRA, a 401k, and two of my own funds. There was about $600,000, and I slid everything. And when I tried to slide it back, they said, well, actually, there was a sale made, and 1099s were sent out. I said, there were no sales. It was a slide. I said, slide it back.
And, I'm afraid a slide is a sale.
You want.
Yeah.
It's a sale.
It's
so
a sale.
I paid the tax on everything, which was, it's all paid for. So now I'm in some government bonds paying nothing. So I missed a 30 or 40% increase in the market doing what I did, which isn't bad. That's bad enough. But now I get a letter from Social Security. They were informed by the IRS of my income for 2016.
Right.
And now I'm getting a cut in my Social Security check of almost $300 because I'm in another bracket, and that's a sliding
salt to the wound.
Medicare slide.
Yeah, Medicare. Yeah. So it's your Social Security wasn't reduced, but you're paying more for Medicare, which in effect reduces your benefit, right?
Yeah.
So you're getting a surcharge. Bottom line, you're right.
A month.
Yeah. Bob, you are unfortunately a text case as to why you don't want to do some of this yourself. You talk to Fidelity, you talk to Vanguard. They're good folks. They have good mutual funds.
Right.
But they don't have any idea of your personal situation. They made an off-the-cuff recommendations. Why don't you slide into this and become a little more conservative?
That's
but what it really did is blew up your financial plan.
Right.
And
but
this
if
is,
they
this
said sell, I wouldn't have done it because every year I was told by my tax man, whatever you do, you never sell. Take out what you need per year to keep
correct.
The taxes
down. Yes,
yes, never sell it.
Yes, yes.
Well,
yes,
and
yes.
A good rule of thumb, too, you would ask, should somebody your age be in equities or stocks at this point? And absolutely. Even somebody in retirement, there's a very good case for having as much as 50% of their money still in equity securities. And a good rule of thumb was, 110 less your age would be a starting point. I wouldn't go below that. So if somebody were coming to me who were 75, I would say a minimum amount that they would want to have in equities is 35%. Right, so right about 35% would be a minimum, and then you adjust that for someone's risk tolerance. But to the point of we had some phone calls. Joe and I had phone calls coming in before the election. People were nervous. What do we do? What do we do? If we couldn't talk somebody off the ledge, at least the next best thing we could do is say, well, if you're going to make this decision, and we can't, it's your money, we have to do, you're our boss, right? But if you're going to do that, we need to have a rational, systematic way to get you back into the market. And so I would have recommended if somebody were so nervous, one, that we educate them and hopefully alleviate that concern. But if we still had somebody nervous, then we're going to then dollar cost average back into the market. Maybe 6 months, 8 months, depending on the person's preference.
Bob, the problem that you have and virtually everybody has in trying to figure out what to do with investments is the emotional side to it. And our job as investment managers, financial planners, wealth managers is to take that emotion out of the equation because it's the emotion that causes most people to make the wrong decision
That's
at
right.
the wrong time.
Yes.
And our job is, as financial planners is to manage the plan. And if your plan is on track, don't worry about what's going on the day-to-day. We call that financial pornography. That stuff that you see on CNBC and read in the newspapers, they have to fill up the airspace with stuff about what's going on, and generally it's the bad stuff, because it's the bad stuff that gets people's attention.
Right.
And so our job, number one, is to manage that kind of behavior. I'm sorry that that occurred for you, but you said something that you need to be careful of. You said you put all your money in government bond funds. Now you've got a double whammy.
That was a safe haven.
Yeah, well, it's not. It's not. Because what's going to happen is, as interest rates continue to rise, you will see that those bond funds continue to go down in value. Now, if you're just taking out the income, don't worry about it. But if you want to maintain your principal, you're going to see a loss of principal, particularly in government bond funds, because interest rates are rising. So you need to rebalance this portfolio, as Gary said. Get yourself back into some good equity mutual funds and balance it out with some fixed income and not necessarily government bond funds. There's a lot of other
corporate bonds.
Yes, corporate bonds, high-yield bonds, foreign bonds, some bank-rate loan instruments.
Floating-rate bonds, yes.
A lot of options, yes.
And you don't want to be so far out there in maturity date, because as rates go up, those with longer maturity dates will tend to go down more in value.
Now, the sad part is I bought this in 94 because I was an engineer and it's management, so we got no pension, but I took care of it. I figured, let me take care of my retirement time. So I bought everything in 94, never touched it once. This was the first phone call I ever made to them.
Sure.
And when they said slide, I actually got in touch with the SEC.
Yeah.
And they put a complaint in against them.
Oh, wow.
I said, didn't they explain to you the transaction? I said, to me, slide and sale is not the same. Those different words. And if they said sale, there never would have been anything. I would have told them to cancel it and not do anything. But I found out when I got the 1099s that there was a sale made.
Yeah, and now your Medicare is higher. Well, Bob, you are definitely a candidate. You are definitely a candidate for some professional help. We do this for our clients for a fee. If you'd like to give Gary a call on Monday morning and come on, at least we'll give you a second opinion and a complimentary consultation. Give our office a call, 407-869-9800, or go to our website, financialgroup.com, and we'll be glad to help you out of this dilemma as best we can.
Yeah, Bob, thanks so much for the phone call. Again, that number one more time, Joe.
407-869-9800 or 1-800-EXECUTEDS if you're executing a financial plan.
All right, if you like Bob's line, it's 844-220-0965. That's 844-220-0965. Let's go to Ken in the Villages. Ken, you're on the Certified Financial Group here on WDBO.
Good morning, Ken in the Villages.
Yeah, good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Good. Wonderful. How are you? How can we help you?
Good. A question about when I take Social Security. I'll be 65 in April, but my wife is 69. She's been collecting Social Security since age 60 because her husband had passed away. So I guess she's collecting under her husband's Social Security. I will be getting about $1,100 in Social Security at age 66. And somebody told me maybe I should take half of hers till age 70 and let it grow 8% a year and then take mine.
Yeah, that sounds like a good strategy. I think Social Security strategies, if you can afford to defer, that is something that you can't be hurt, right? If you can afford not to have that money coming in, not to take your benefit, which might be higher than half of hers at full retirement age, then you probably should do it, right?
So, and yes, I guess I'm asking, is that, I don't know if it was a year cut, that is a Social Security law or whatever, that I can do that,
your benefits, as long as you defer, will grow by 8% per year. So if you're deferring your benefits. Now, the nuance, I would call Social Security to confirm, because this is a spousal situation, but I don't know of any reason where, if you get to full retirement age, you could not take half of her benefit. But you can verify that by contacting them. And again, if you can afford to defer, it's a good idea to do that.
Okay, that was my question. Because when I call them, and it's an hour and a half late, so right. And then I call them, and or sometimes they say nobody's available today. Okay. All right, I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right, thanks
for the call.
All right, Ken, thanks so much. If you like Ken's line, it's 844-220-0965. It's 844-220-0965. Gentlemen, we got some text questions in at 21232 First off here, what is the safest investment to beat inflation and provide retirement income?
Okay, so what they're looking for is something that will beat inflation. And the only thing that's going to beat inflation is something that will provide growth. And growth is going to be found in equities, unless you're going to invest in real estate or things. Looking for something that'll appreciate, will go up in value.
Correct. Okay. So, I mean, hard assets tend to do well in an inflationary environment and, you know, typically will beat inflation, again, in an inflationary environment. So the text is kind of hard when you're doing text questions because what is the safest investment? Well, you know, over what time frame, for example, I would want to ask. If this person were 75 or 80, I might have a different answer if it was a person who is 25 and would want to know more about their total asset allocation. How much, you know, income shortfall? Do they need income off of this? So it's a tough question when you're answering text, but I would agree that equities would be the best way over the long haul to beat inflation.
I think it's probably the easiest way for people to do it because it takes a little management if you have some help, somebody at least helping you, but there's nothing you have to manage every day. And once again, that's why mutual funds are there.
Exactly.
It gives you the opportunity to participate in companies around the world that are providing services, goods and services, and their value over time will go up.
Right.
A lot
of people think gold or silver to beat inflation.
No.
Those have been horrible investments.
And
they don't do anything.
They're more speculative than anything.
It's kind of like a Bitcoin.
Yes.
And people are buying it because they think it might go up.
Yes.
It doesn't produce anything.
So we would suggest equity mutual funds for the long haul.
Right.
Yep.
Another text in at 21232. Can a retired person add money to their IRA?
No, they can't add money. You have to have earned income. So now a lot of people say, I'm retired, and you find out, well, they're semi-retired. They have a small job earning a little bit of income
on the side.
So, you know, if you do, potentially you can, but by and large not. Now, again, if you're a retired person, sometimes you can convert your IRA to a Roth IRA, and if you're in a zero income tax bracket, that can make some sense to do. So,
how about a spousal?
Yeah.
If you're retired, but your spouse is still working.
Oh, sure.
There you go.
Then
so
you can do a spousal
IRA.
Works. So if you are not working, but your spouse is, then that spouse can contribute the two of them for the IRAs, spousal IRA.
There you go.
Okay. Just like that. All right. Text question 21232. Phone question 844-220-0965. We are planning tomorrow.
Today.
The Certified Financial Group here on News 96.5 WDBO. Time to get the three big things you need to know. And welcome back. This is On the Money with the Certified Financial Group here on News 96.5 WDBO's Ask the Experts Weekend. This is a show where we help you get to that retirement finish line, and we got 4 minutes until we get to the show's finish line today. So it's your last chance to get your question answered. 844-220-0965. That is 844-220-0965. The text machine is up and running as well. 21232. Let's get back to the phone lines. George has been hanging on patiently in Orlando. George, go ahead. You're on with the Certified Financial Group here on WDBO.
George.
Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Good morning. Great. How are you?
Two quick ones for you.
Sure.
Why is the VA charging copay for the veterans now?
Well, I can answer that one. Healthcare is expensive. You probably heard in the beginning we've spent $30 trillion between 96 and 2013 on healthcare expenditures. So the VA still, for service-related disabilities, most of the time those services are free. It's when it's not related to a service disability that there are copays involved. So, and that's for prescriptions and for other services. So I think the simple answer to that, George, it's simply cost. It's dollars in, dollars out. What was your second?
Can you tell me what's the difference between an HMO and a PPO?
Yes, and I'm glad you asked the question. It's a really good one to end here with. The HMO requires you to go to a specific set of providers. So you're narrowing down, typically, who you can go to, and you must stay within that network. Typically, HMO networks are narrower than a PPO network.
Okay.
PPO networks allow you to go inside the network, but they also have benefits outside the network. So you have in and out of network benefits.
I got you.
HMOs only in network benefits.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
George.
All right,
have a great weekend.
Okay. All right, George, thanks so much for the phone call. I got a text question in here at 21232. I am 43 years old. I make $40,000 a year. I average an additional $1,000 bonus each month. I have $5,000 in credit card debt and about $30,000 in student loans. What?
And that's where it
and
is.
And that's why we keep it at 160 characters, everybody, when you run in a text
all
question.
Right, so
what to do.
Focus on paying the higher interest debt first. That student debt is not going to go away. Make sure you're taking care of some of this student debt, 6-7% that we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if the credit card is higher, then pay the minimum on the student debt and then take that credit card and get rid of it and then stop carrying the debt. That debt is your enemy. It compounds and makes things ugly.
Yep.
So put money in investments mm-hmm. instead of debt. Much better option.
All right. I think that's pretty much going to do it for every question that's been thrown our way today, gentlemen. So, Gary Abele, your next workshop coming up in March.
Yes. The one in March is on financial basics. So we go over everything we should have been taught in high school and college, but we're not.
Mm.
Then we got one in April for those of
how
you
how long
who
is
want,
that class?
They're all 9 to 11 on Saturday.
I was going to say,
they're
it's not long enough.
It's, we go at a pretty fast
and
pace.
And you got the February one on...
Yeah, on healthcare. Right, and that's on February 10th.
Yes. Go to our website, financialgroup.com. That's financialgroup.com. If you're on a mobile device, scroll on down to workshops, and you can make your reservation right there online. They are held in our office, generally 9 to 11 on Saturday mornings, absolutely free with refreshments. Hope to see you there.
Cool.
All right.
Have a great weekend.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's edition of On the Money with a Certified Financial Group. Stay tuned for Florida Homes and Gardens next on News 96.5 WDBO.